in that video, huh? What's that?
It's an edit.
Yeah. I hope you guys get a chance to watch those again. There's so much in there. And so much to watch and to take in and to take it apart. You guys have a good day today?
Yeah.
Yeah? What was the best part of the day, so you did?
Broom hockey.
Broom hockey, huh? That was fun to watch you guys out there. Really, really cool. Very fun. Guys are pretty proud of your victory out there? Yeah, definitely. Girls Forever was worth it. Played incredible and shit. You know, good job. Good job. Best part of your day today? Broom ball's the best part too?
Good to hear.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very cool. Hey, if you got a Bible, I want you to grab it right now. I want you to open it to Mark chapter 10. Hey, Mark chapter 10. And that's where we're headed. We're going to dive in here and take a look and continue on down the journey here of what we've been talking about. We just watched that video, and we've been talking this whole weekend and been so proud of you guys for how you have dug in here and paying attention and grappling with what does God have to say this weekend for you. You are here because God's called you here. You're here because God wanted you here. Yeah, to have fun and eat some great meals and have a blast together, but you're here because God has some important things to say to you and say to us. So as we're diving in, we're taking a look, and Faith, maybe you show me that first video there, the Shema, right? And just sort of recap a little bit of where we've been. You remember Jesus in Mark chapter 12, he's having a conversation and people come to Jesus and they say, hey, what's the most important thing in here? If you could boil it all down, what's the most important thing? And this is what he tells them. Hey, the most important thing, Jesus answers, is hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, you should love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Jesus says these are the things that are important. And we have to pay attention to these things. And we talked that very first time we were together about the difference between hearing and listening, right? Remember that we hear all sorts of things in our lives. But the word here that Jesus was talking about, the word that comes out of Deuteronomy that Moses shared, with the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt is not just hear, not just let those words come in there, but actually listen. And listen with the intent of obeying. Paying attention. What am I going to do with this? Remember, anytime we come to God's Word, we want to ask that. What is God saying to us, and what am I going to do about that? We can't stop after that first one. And so many times, especially if we've grown up in church, it's easy to come and to hear a message and read our Bibles and figure out this is what God's saying, and then to stop there. Instead of asking, you know, what's God calling me to do? How is he calling me to change? How does he want me to be more like him? How does he want me to understand more about him? And so what is God saying, and what am I going to do about it? And how important it is to listen. Not just hear, but listen with the intent of being obedient. And this morning we talked about that we're to love God with our heart and our soul. Remember we talked about the heart? What do we say about our heart? You remember any of that? What does your heart represent? When we're talking about loving God with your heart, what part of us is that? What is that? You remember? It's our will. It's where we make those decisions, right? We talk about our passion and put your heart into it. It's where we're making decisions and who we are in here. And our soul is the eternal part of us. And when we bring that and we love God with that, what we're literally saying is we're surrendering our lives and we're saying, you know what, Jesus, I want you to be the king of my life. Not me. I'm not the king. You're the king. And we're surrendering everything we have, our will, every part of us. We took a look at the soils this morning where the Word of God comes. And sometimes the Word of God is taken away because we're not interested or people aren't interested. But then sometimes we just want to hear the Word of God and keep going our own way. And God calls us to repentance, to turn 180 degrees back. To turn and to say, you know what, it's not about me, it's about you. In every kingdom, there is a king. And this morning, you had an opportunity to say, you know what, Jesus, I want you to be my king. I want to surrender my life. And tonight we take a look at that next step where Jesus said, you know what? I want you to love the Lord your God with all your mind and with all your strength. We just caught that video right there. We're thinking a little bit about our mind. And our mind is that place where all the information is coming in. It's coming in through our eyes. It's coming in through our ears. It's coming in through smells. It's coming in through experiences around us. And everything happening in our lives, it's coming in through your mind. And it's forming your worldview, the way you see the world around you. It's where we're making decisions and our strength. How we take in that information and how we walk that out to our relationships around us, the things and gifts and skills that God's given you. How are you going to love God on a daily basis with your actions and with your thoughts? Again, remember when Jesus is the king of everything in our life, he calls us in every area of our life to live for him. And so we're going to take a look at two quick stories here in the Bible. The first one's in Mark chapter 10. And I want you to kind of look at this passage. And I want you to ask this simple question. Did this person love God with their mind and with their strength? Had they surrendered their life to God? And we'll take a look at a couple of people and we'll just simply ask that question. And then we're going to ask ourselves that question. How do we do that? How do we love God with our mind, with our strength? And so the first story is right here in Mark chapter 10, and I want you to read this with me. Mark chapter 10, we're going to pick it up. Right there in verse 17. Look what it says. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, that's a great question. Right, that's a great question that a lot of people are asking. This guy runs up to Jesus and says, hey, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, hey, why do you call me good? Jesus said, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. You shall not honor your father and your mother. And at this moment right here, this guy got excited. He maybe even puffed out his chest a little bit. He looked at Jesus and he said, hey, teacher, all of these things that you just said, I have kept them since I was a boy. And this is a good moment for this guy. He says to Jesus, hey, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know what? You know the law, what's written in there. And Jesus begins to work his way down there. You know the commandments. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony. Don't defraud. Don't forget to honor your parents. And he looks at Jesus and he says, hey, all of this I've kept since I was a boy. And he's excited in that moment. But take a look at this passage. Look what Jesus says. What are those words Jesus says next? What does he say? Somebody say it out loud. One thing you lack. Uh-oh, Jesus is about to call him to 100% obedience. Jesus is about to look into his life and say, you know what? The most important thing is for you to listen. Listen with the intent to be obedient. Jesus is going to look into his life and say, you know what? You've actually done a good job of following some rules. There's one more thing I want you to pay attention to. And look what he says. One thing you lack, Jesus said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. And at this, the man's face fell. And he went away sad because he had great wealth. So let's talk about this for a second. What's happening here in this passage? Why in the world would Jesus want him to go and sell everything he had and give it to the poor? Because what? He's got to trust in God. Does Jesus say this because money is bad? No. In fact, you know what? There's no other place where Jesus gives this same command. The Bible doesn't say money is bad. Until money becomes more important than God himself. And so Jesus looks at him and says, hey, you know what? I need you to surrender everything you have. Everything you have. I want you to love me with your mind and your strength, your heart and your soul. And I want you to do something really important. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then come follow me. Jesus asking him a question. Are you willing to love me with your mind and with your strength? Are you willing to surrender everything that I would be the king of your life? And what does this guy choose? Why did he go away sad? Go ahead. You know what he looked at? He looked at those possessions. He looked at those things that even gave his life from his perspective strength. And he said, that's more important than the strength that Jesus would give me. That's more important than surrendering what I have to God. Where had that money come from? Can I ask that question? Well, that money that he had great wealth. Where had that come from? It even came from God, didn't it? God had even given him the ability to make money to be successful in business. Part of his strength, part of his passion, part of the way that he processed life, he was maybe a great business person. And God said, I want you to love me with your mind. I want you to love me with your strength. I want everything you have. I want it to be mine. And so we got to ask that question, what has God given us? What has God given you? What are those skills and talents and abilities that you have that have been given to you by God? Are you willing to love him with those? Are you willing to say, God, I want to listen to you with the intent of being obedient, realizing that everything I have comes from you, everything I have, and I want to love you with it. And so in this particular case, we look at this guy and we realize, you know what? He chose no. I'm going to hold on to that myself. That's one of the craziest things about opportunity to walk with God. God loves you so much that he would even give you the opportunity to reject him, turn away from him. You're trying to figure out life on your own. The question is, why would you do that? Why would we take the God who loves us so much, who's all powerful, he's all present, he loves you deeply, why would you reject him and turn away from him? And he says, hey, love me with all your mind and all your strength. So let's look at another one. Let's look at a second story. I want to turn to Luke chapter 19. Hey, that was Mark 10. Turn over another book to Luke, and I want you to look at Luke 19. And Jesus encounters another guy, and this guy shows up right here in Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. Familiar story if you've been around the Bible. The cool little song goes with this story. Luke 19, Jesus runs into a guy by the name of Zacchaeus. You know this story? A wee little man, right? A wee little man was he. Climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. And Jesus encounters this guy, and we see some very similar things. Guys, take a look at Luke 19. Okay, that's where I want you to be. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. It says this, that Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. And there was a man there by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. And so he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and he said to him, hey, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down immediately. I'm coming to your house today. So he came down at once and he stayed. Came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and they began to mutter, hey, he's going to be the house, the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, 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 here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. But the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. So take a look at this story. Think about this same guy. Here's Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. And he was living in Rome. And what the Romans did is they took other Jews, and you would be a Jew, and Zacchaeus was a Jew. And he said, your job is to collect taxes from your own people. So how do you think his friends felt about Zacchaeus? Other Jews, that he was collecting taxes from them. Probably not very good. they probably didn't like him very much. And Zacchaeus also had a problem. He was short. But he had an answer to that. And his answer to that was that he was wealthy. And all of a sudden, he comes and encounters with Jesus. Jesus is coming in and passing by, and Zacchaeus wants to see him, but he can't because he's short. So he runs ahead and he gets up inside a tree. And he gets inside a sycamore tree. And a sycamore tree had a huge trunk and branches that he could climb up in. And I think Zacchaeus has a plan. I think Zacchaeus' plan is he's going to get up on these branches and he's going to take a look at Jesus. He's going to see him. And he's going to let Jesus go on by. But Jesus has a different plan than that. And he stops, and right in that moment, he stops and he looks up, and the crowd kind of bumps into each other, and they're like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. Jesus stopped. Why did he stop? I don't know. He's talking to some guy in a tree. Oh, hey, listen, he just called him by name. He said, hey, Zacchaeus. And all the crowd, man, wow, he's talking to Zacchaeus, tax collector? Are you kidding me? You know, we hate that guy. Does Jesus know who he is? Wait, what's he saying? Oh, he's telling Zacchaeus to come down from the tree. Because what? Jesus just said he's going to his house. And sure enough, they come down from the tree, and Jesus goes into Zacchaeus' house, and they're gone for a while. And this doesn't say here in Scripture, but here's what I think happened. I think they sat down, and I think they had lunch together. I think they had a meal together when Jesus explained to Zacchaeus, hey, you know what, Zacchaeus? You're trying to make life work on your own. You're trying to have enough money. You're trying to have enough power. You're trying to have enough fame. You're trying to be popular enough. You're trying to make life work on your own, and it's not going to work on your own. And Zacchaeus says, well, I need you to know. I need you to know that the creator of the world. And I think Jesus laid out the gospel to Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, I want to be the king of your life. And Zacchaeus said, that's what I want too. That's what I want too. That's what I've been looking for. And I think right there in Zacchaeus' house, he surrendered his life. And then I think they had this simple little conversation, the same one we've been having all weekend, where Jesus said to Zacchaeus, hey, you know what? I want you to listen to me from here on out. I want you to be obedient to me. And I want you to love me with your heart and your soul. And Zacchaeus said, I want that too. But then Jesus said, you know what? That's not all of it. I also want you to love me with your mind and with your strength, with the possessions you have and the relationships you have. And Zacchaeus said, I will do that. And so that's why he walks out, and that's why he says this to the public. He actually makes an announcement. Zacchaeus takes some of his own money. And he says, hey, you know what? I need to let everybody know who's here that I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. And if anybody that I've cheated, and I think there are a lot of people who went, hey, that's me, you cheated me. If anybody I've cheated, I want you to come talk to me and I'm going to repay you. Not just what I cheated you, but I'm going to give you four times the amount. I'm going to make it right. Because Zacchaeus understood that when he came to Jesus, and surrendered his life. He said, I'm not in charge anymore. You're the king and I'm not. And I'm going to love you with my mind, the things that I think about, the things that come in here, the things that are important to me, the things that I focus on. And up until that point in time, what was Zacchaeus focused on? What was he focused on?
Cash.
Getting as much as he could. I'll take care of being short. I'll take care of if people don't like me. I'll just be richer than anybody else. And when people make fun of me, you know what? I'll say, hey, at least I'm wealthy. He was focused on and he thought about that every single day. I'm going to get more cash. And all of a sudden, he brought that to Jesus and said, you know what? The things that I'm focused on, I'm going to give that to you. And I'm not going to make cash the number one priority in my life anymore. I'm going to make Jesus the number one priority. And so part of loving Jesus with our mind is, what do we focus on? What do we think about? What do we spend our time focused on every single day? Zacchaeus said, that thing that I'm focused on, I want to surrender to you. I'm going to give it away, and I'm going to make it right if I cheated anybody. And then Zacchaeus looked to his strength and said, you know what about my relationships? How do I need to make relationships right around me? If I belong to Jesus, then I need to take my relationships and make those right as well. Now let me ask you a question. Which one of these two guys loved Jesus with his mind and his strength? Zacchaeus, right? The first guy had the same opportunity. The rich young ruler came and he stood before Jesus and he was called to the same thing. And he refused. Because he said, my life is mine. And then Zacchaeus comes and Jesus gives him the same opportunity. He says, I want to love you with my mind and I want to love you with my strength. So my question for you is, what about you when that invitation comes to you? And God calls you to love him with your mind. What about your thoughts and what about your what you're focused on? When you think about the music that you listen to, when you think about the social media that you take in, when you think about the movies that you watch, when you think about the books that you read, when you think about the amount of time you spend online, you think about your time at school, the things that your mind is processing and taking in all the time, have you taken that mind and have you said, you know what, Jesus, I want this to belong to you? Romans chapter 12, I want you to listen to this verse. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of my mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So many times we want to ask that question, what's God's will for my life? And it starts with what we think about. And are we taking in and are we renewing our mind? Well, how do you do that? The Bible says that before we knew Jesus, our minds were actually contrary to what God is thinking. But then I come, and one of the ways that I renew my mind is I take God's word right here. And I take it in, and as I'm reading it in through my mind, I'm paying attention to it, and God is using his word to renew my heart, my mind, my life by what I take in. Another way that I pay attention to my mind is that when sin comes my way, I say no to sin. I recognize it. And Scripture says that nothing has come our way, no temptation but that which is common to man. And when temptation comes our way, God will give us a way to escape. And so we've got to recognize when sin comes our way. We renew our mind when we take in God's word and when we say no to sin. One of the ways we renew our mind is that what we've been doing up here at worshiping. I would challenge you to go to the table of the band, and I challenge you to pick up their music and buy it and listen to it. And allow worship music to roll through your mind for you to sing, for you to worship, not just on Sunday morning, not just when you're at camp, but every day, allowing yourself. When I get up in the morning, part of my time with God is I try to listen to some kind of a worship song. Because what's happening as I'm worshiping God, it's renewing my mind. And it's causing my thoughts to be God's thoughts. And that trickles down into every part of my life. Scripture says we need to be renewing our mind. 2 Timothy, Paul wrote this to Timothy, hey, study to show yourself approved, the workman who does not need to be ashamed, but who rightly divides the word of truth. Anybody ever go to Awana? Spend time at Awana in your church. It's a great program. That's their theme verse that we need to come. We need to study God's word. Because when I read it and when I study it, when I memorize it, and I spend time with God's word in me, then I'm taking my mind and I'm presenting that to God. And God uses that to change every single area of my life. So what does it look like to love God with my mind? It's renewing it by reading scripture. It's saying no to sin. It's paying attention here to learn more about God. My brother is in business, and he lives in Phoenix. I told you that yesterday. And my brother went to work for a bank. And one day he walked into a bank, and the bank told him, hey, today we're going to help you recognize counterfeit money. Because that's really important in banking. You can't just take counterfeit money. You've got to be able to see it. You've got to be able to understand it and know it. And so today's going to be a day where we're going to do some training on counterfeit money. And so my brother's kind of excited about that. He's like, hey, sounds kind of fun. I'm going to learn about counterfeit bills and all that. He figures he's going to go to some huge seminar. And they're like, hey, come right here with me. His name's Andrew. And so they take Andrew and they put him in a back room and they put him down at the table, and his manager comes over and grabs a huge stack of money. There's ones and there's fives and there's tens and there's 20s and there's 50s and there's hundreds. And he spreads them out on the table. And he says, hey, I want you to take a look at these bills. Spend some time looking at them. Andrew's like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. And maybe it's the first step. And his manager just says, I'll be back in a little while. But he's gone for a long time. He's gone for over an hour. And Andrew, my brother, he's sitting in this room. He's sitting at a table and he's reading the ones. He's taking a look at the fives and the tens and the 20s. And the manager comes back and is like, hey, you been studying that? And he's like, yeah, I'm ready for the counterfeit bills. He's like, okay, I want you to study that a little bit more. And so manager left. We've gone for another hour. And he comes back, and my brother's kind of getting a little frustrated at this point. He's like, hey, I thought I was going to study counterfeit, learn about counterfeit stuff. He said, have you been studying that? He said, yeah, I have. Pick it up. My brother picks it up. Feel it. Yeah, smell it. Take a look at it. Recognize it. And I'll be back. And the manager walks out again. He's gone for another hour. 3 hours have gone by. And finally, he comes in the third time. My brother's like, hey, this is, man, I thought I was going to do something like study counterfeit stuff. And then the manager looked at him and said this, you have been for the last 3 hours. This isn't counterfeit money, this is real money. And when you know what real money looks like, when you know everything about real money, then you will spot counterfeit and it'll be obvious to you. You don't learn about counterfeit by studying counterfeit, you learn about counterfeit by studying the real thing. And that's exactly what happens when we come to God's Word. And we study God's Word, and we memorize it, and we read it, and we talk about it in our youth group and in our church. And we memorize it, and we take it in, and we study God's Word, and God uses that to renew your mind. And when I know God's Word, everything else that doesn't belong to God becomes obvious. And I'm changing on the inside. God's renewing me when I'm studying His Word. Second part of that, of loving God with your strength. Philippians chapter 2, I want you to listen to this when we think about our relationships. Loving God with our mind and loving God with our strength. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the Philippian church. He said, hey, you know what? Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interest, but to the interest of others. In your relationships with each other, be like Jesus. What does it look like for us to love God with our strength? That's in our relationships. It's in what we do with our time and our possessions and the people around us. I want you to think for a second about your family back home. How are you doing loving Jesus by loving your family back home? Being obedient to your parents. Being respectful of your brother and sister. Paying attention to your grandparents when they would speak to you. Maybe we disconnect that and go, no, I love God with all my heart, but I actually am really disrespectful to my parents. But Jesus steps in and says, hey, I care about every area of your life. And so as I love God with my strength, that says, you know what, in my relationships, I want to love the same way Jesus loved. How did Jesus love? He laid down his very life for people. He was patient. He was kind. He thought about them before he thought about himself. And so he loved well in his relationships. You see, one of the really cool things about the Shema, one of the cool things that Jesus was saying, of this is the most important thing. Part of what we've been talking about and learning is that God says, hey, listen to me. And then surrender everything you have. And then Jesus says, I will teach you how to see me every single day. And I will teach you how to walk with me. And I want to show you how that works right here on this whiteboard. I want to show you a simple thing that I think we take with us. It's really, really, really practical. And it's something that shows up in our life every day. Because sometimes we ask that question, how do I learn this? How do I learn to walk with God? How do I learn to recognize God and see God? And part of it is by practicing that every single day. Think about a little baby. A little baby at first sits in a high chair and you know, mom and dad eventually put some food on the tray. And what does that baby do with the food? I just kind of smacks it, smears it around, throws it on the floor, right? I've got brothers and sisters at home. And then mom and dad go, no, actually, you want to try and put that in your mouth. And then they go, oh, cool, and they put it in their eye, right? You're like, well, you're not going to feed yourself putting it in your eye. But eventually that baby just gets lucky, puts it in their mouth. And then they're smearing it all over their face. What are they doing? They're learning how to feed themselves. Now look at you guys. I'm looking at you at dinner tonight. Most of you are doing pretty good. Right? A couple of you got in your eye, you know, a little bit of ear there. But most of you tonight, you were looking at that scalloped potatoes and going, oh, spoon goes, oh, right in my mouth. Well done. You would say, boy, you know, can you imagine if at this point in time in your life that you couldn't get food off a plate into your mouth? It'd be kind of hard to come to camp, right? You're like smearing it and throw it on the floor. Ross is going, hello, stop that, right? Not that you would ever do that. But think about a baby. A baby learns how to feed himself. Important skill. Think about a baby learning how to walk, right? They get up and they're crawling, they fall over. Mom and dad help them, and then eventually they get up, right? And they're doing like the toddler thing. Oh. And then they take a step, boom, fall on their face. Right, now again, I was watching you guys today. You're running around playing broom hockey. You're doing stuff. You weren't falling on your face, not on purpose. Hey, maybe you slipped and fell. It happened a little bit. But look what you've done. You've learned how to walk. You have learned how to talk. There are so many things that you've learned in your life. And now all of a sudden, God comes along and says, hey, I want you to listen to my voice. And you ask, how do I do that? I want you to surrender your life. How do I do that? I want you to love me with your mind and your thoughts. How do I do that? I want you to love me with your strength, the resources you have. How do I do that? And I want to show you something here, really simple, something that you can practice, something that I practice, try to practice every day. A lot of us think about time this way. And this is the word for this time. It's chronos. And chronos is a simple word for time. It means linear time. Going from here to here. Like this is January to December. This is the 1st of February to the 10th of February. We measure time this way. And we say time is just going by. When we just passed through 2016, we're hitting 2017, and you're looking down the road and going, now I'm going to graduate in 2021 or whatever it is. And we think about time running this way, and time does run that way. But there's also another word for time. And this is the word kairos. And this is the time I want you to pay attention to. Kairos really means a moment in time. And I believe that this is one of the ways that God wants us to learn about walking with Him, by looking for kairos moments. Because a lot of us, we think about it this way. We think about our Christian life in a chronos, that, you know what, I belong to Jesus here, and I get saved at this moment, and I gave my life to Jesus when I was 6, and someday I'm going to heaven. Or I went to camp, and I learned something, and someday I'm going to put it into practice. But what if God wanted you to put it into practice every single day? What if God wanted to show up in your life every single day? And I believe God does. And so those are kairos moments that we can learn to recognize where God is up to something. And God's saying to you, hey, listen to me. And so like we talked about on the first night, we've got to be listening to Him. We've got to be paying attention. We have to have a desire. We've got to ask God, God, show up in my life. God shows up through creation. God shows up through His Word. God shows up through the Holy Spirit. God shows up as you're talking to each other. God shows up in kairos moments. And I want you to know that kairos moments comes out of Mark chapter 1. And I'm going to read it to you. Mark chapter 1, this is what Jesus said very early on in His ministry. He said this. After John was put in prison, this is Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And listen to what Jesus says. The time has come. He just talked about time. Time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God is not just someday in heaven. The kingdom of God is not just someday when you grow up. The kingdom of God is not just someday when you're in church as a pastor, or someday. The kingdom of God is near, Jesus said, right here. And then check out what Jesus says. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So So Jesus gives us a clue right here. He says, repent and believe the good news. And here's how I think it works. This Kairos moment, God shows up right here. You're rolling along. You're at camp. You're at school. You're at home. Kronos is going by. The day is happening. And all of a sudden, God shows up. He wants you to listen to him. And so here's how it works. A Kairos moment shows up. And it runs all the way like this. And Jesus just said two things. One, he said, repent. And what was the second word he said? Remember? The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. Really important. Repent and believe. And here's how this works. Really simple. Six checkpoints on here that I think we can see and we can learn to practice what God is saying. And here's how this works. This goes this way. A Kairos moment shows up, and you and I have the opportunity to go through these steps right here. And in my life, what happens for me is when I'm practicing these steps, I see them more and more. And I see God showing up in my life more and more. And I'm convinced that you want God to show up in your life. We're asking God to show up in our life. But just like we learn how to walk, we learn how to talk, we learn how to feed ourselves, we learn how to recognize when God is working around us. And we do that through repenting and believing. Here's the first thing that happens. God does something in your life, and you observe it. You just see it. You notice. In this moment, I think God's doing something. Here's the second thing you do. You reflect on that. You actually stop and you begin to think about it. Hey, I wonder if God's doing something right now. I wonder if this could be a Kairos moment, a God moment. And then here'd be the third thing I would encourage you to do. You need to find some people around you that you could actually discuss it. What a cool thing that you guys as a youth group could be up here at camp. You could be learning this together and walking away from camp where you look at each other and say, you know what, I don't know about you, but I need some help to walk with God. And I need you to help me. Would you be willing to help me and talk to me and process this with me? And so the third thing you do is you discuss it. Here's the fourth thing you do. You say, you know what? I think this is the plan. I think this is what God is calling me to do, to change, to be. Here's what I think I want to do about it. And here's what I want God wants me to do about it. And then here comes your friends again. They actually hold you accountable. They say, hey, this is your plan. And you know what? I'm going to hold you accountable to that. I'm going to ask you about that. And here's the last thing you do. You actually do it. You act on it. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. We'll try this on. And this little Kairos moment right here, when you and I learn how to walk through this, and sometimes they happen really quick. Sometimes it may happen over a whole day or maybe a couple of days. But God challenges you to love him with your mind. Okay? So you read that in scripture and you came into camp and God said, you know, I want you to love me with your mind. And all of a sudden a bunch of friends call you up and they go, hey, let's go to movies and we're going to go see this movie. And you're like, okay, cool, I don't know much about that, but I'm going to go see it. And you get into that movie and you got your popcorn and you got your gigantic soda and you're chilling in the theater and the movie comes on and all of a sudden you realize, I shouldn't be here. I should not be watching this movie. This is not loving God with my mind. I shouldn't be taking this in. I shouldn't be thinking about this. And I know that. And right in that moment, Kronos is going by, but God shows up in your life. The Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you know, you have an observation immediately in your heart. I should not be here. And you walk out of that movie, and you're convicted. And you go, you know what, I got to think about that. You know, my friends ask me, and I want to honor God with my mind. And you begin to reflect on that and go, how's that movie impacting me? And you grab some friends, and you call somebody out of your youth group, and you call up Ross or Renee, and you go, hey, I just need to process something with you. Here's what happened in my life. I think God was speaking to me. I think he was challenging me about my mind. And I want to love him, but here's what happened. You think I'm off base? You think I'm tracking? And your friend says, no, I think you're tracking well. I think that makes sense. And that's what it means to love God with your mind. And then you go, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. The next time my friends ask me to go to a movie, I got to ask some more questions about that movie. What's it about? What's the content? Maybe I got to look it up and then know a little bit more about it. I make a plan. And then I go back to my friends and I tell them, here's my plan. I want to love God with my mind. And so I got to make a plan. Will you hold me accountable? And then I actually do it. I act on it next time it happens. And here's what happens as I walk through this Kairos circle. God showed up in my life. I recognized it. He was speaking to me. I listened to him. And you know what happened? I drew closer to God because I was obedient as I walked through this circle. Our temptation is God shows up and we just keep going and blow it off. But when I stop and pay attention here, God shows up. And God speaks in my life. Someone challenges you to read more of God's word. You walk out of church where your pastor talked about how important it is to memorize scripture. And God speaks to you in that moment. And you say, you know what? God showed up right here. And I've been thinking about this. I was just challenged to read his word. And you should actually spend some time thinking about that. You know, if I did read his word, I would actually know more. I'd be able to talk with my friends. I'd be able to learn a little more about God. And you ask your friend, hey, you think that's a good idea? And they go, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Where do you think I should start? I think you should start in the book of John. Well, read one chapter a day, and you guys talk about it, and then you make a plan. And you say, you know what? I want to love God with my mind. I want to pay attention. And so my plan is I'm going to read one chapter a day in the morning before I ever jump on Facebook or before I have breakfast. That's what I'm going to do. One chapter. And I'm going to pray and ask God to use his word. And then you say to your friend, hey, you know what? Would you help me? Would you ask me if I'm doing that? They hold you accountable. And then you actually do it. And look what just happened. God spoke to you. You listened. You heard him. And then you reflected on it. You talked about it. You had a plan. And you grew in your faith. You get home after school. And your sister's there. Your brother's there. And they're getting all up in your business. And you have a big fight with them. And you yell at them. And they yell back at you. And you have this huge fight. You slam the door and they take off. And right in that moment, God says, hey, I want you to love me with your strength. And what just happened with your sister, with your brother, it's not how I want you to live. I want you to live with love. And God shows up in a Kairos moment, and you have that thought, and you begin to think about that. You know what? That is right. I should be loving because Jesus loved me. And then you could have a friend, and you go, hey, let me just tell you kind of what happened. I got home after school. I didn't mean to, but ended up in a huge fight with my brother. I don't want to do that. Oh, what do you think you should do about that? You know what? I think that on my way home from school, the best thing for me to do would be just to pray before I get into my house. Hey, God, you know that I'm going to see my brother, my sister. Would you fill me with your love so that I can love my brother? And you create a plan. And then you tell your friend, hey, here's the plan. I'm just going to pray on my way home because I want my sister to know how much I love her and how much God loves her. And you come up with accountability and say, hey, will you help me with that? And then you do it. And look what happened. God spoke to you. And you listen. And you say, hey, I'm not the king. You're the king. And you're calling me to love you with my mind and my strength and my actions. And as you did it, tell me something. Are you getting closer to God or farther away from God? You're getting closer. You're learning how to walk. You're learning how to feed yourself. You're seeing the Holy Spirit show up and speak to you. Sometimes I hear people say, Phil, I never hear God's voice. I never hear God speak to me. And God wants to use these moments, Kairos moments. That's what this is, a moment in time to draw you closer to him and learn how to do that. This is what happened to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was up in the tree thinking that he would just get a little bit of Jesus to go. I just want to see him and get back to my life. And Jesus stops and looks up in the tree and says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I know you by name. I want you to come down from that tree." Zacchaeus looking around going, "Me? You talking? Yeah, me? Yeah." And then they get to hear and Zacchaeus is like, "You want to go to my house? Oh, I hope I made my bed today. Oh man, that kitchen's a mess." Jesus is like, "That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm coming. I want to come." And they have some conversation. And then they get into the house and over a meal, Jesus speaks to him and says, "Zacchaeus, I want to be your king. I want you to love me." And Zacchaeus says, "That's what I want too." And he walks out and he acts. And in this Kairos moment for Zacchaeus, his life was changed. His life was changed. God wants to do the same thing for us. It's not just a theory. It's not just an idea that can't show up in our life. God wants to speak to you. He wants you to hear his voice. And as we listen with the intent to obey, remember that's what the verse says, not just hearing, listening. God shows up in a Kairos moment. Are you listening? And as you practice this, you'll see God showing up every single day in your life. Because that's what God wants. He's not playing hide and seek. He's not out there hiding from you. Remember 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are given to him so that he can strengthen them. That's what the Bible says. God's eyes are roaming across this camp today, tonight. What do they see in your heart? Do they see that you're hungry and you want to hear from God? And if that's what God sees, he wants to strengthen you. And so I want to challenge you to think about Kairos moments. This is what it looks like to love God with your mind and your strength every single day. Make sense? Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you so much that you want to speak clearly to us. Thank you, Lord, that you're not playing hide and seek. You're not a God who's hard to find, but you want to speak clearly to each one of these men and women. Lord, I pray that you would raise up men and women in here who hear your voice every single day. They're attentive to you, and they're listening with the intention to obey. Lord, speak to us from your word, by your spirit. Maybe respond to that. Use us in great ways, Lord, because we belong to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.